along with the news. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese will make a state visit to Indonesia this week, according to Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Dorian Shasumia. The visit is scheduled for May 14 to 15 and will coincide with the annual bilateral leaders meeting. He stated that Albanese and Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto will discuss bilateral ties with a particular focus on economic issues such as food and energy security as well as trade. Ideology Development Agency highlighted the importance of interfaith dialogue between Indonesia and the Vatican following Pope Leo's accession as leader of the Catholic Church. Indonesia sees Pope Leo as leader with a strong commitment to bolstering interfaith dialogue and expects him to guide the Church in building bridges and encouraging peace among people. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
be sung as Bidar is slowly being forgotten with time. Bidar is another name for Pencalang boat. Back in Palembang Sultanate era, Pencalang boat, known for its speed, was used for river patrols to ensure the security of areas surrounded by rivers. Today, Bidar boat races are often held in Palembang, South Sumatra. The song Bidar Melaju also reflects the strong and competitive spirit of the Palembang community, symbolized by Bidar boat that keeps moving forward on the Musi River. Well, with here, let's enjoy the Malay song Bidar Melaju by Selena Salsabila.
All the media, all the global community are still talking about the new boat. And of course, the Voice of Malaysia, we also talk about the latest boat, the newest boat, which is Pope Leo the Fourth. And we'll talk about it with the Deputy Secretary of Archdiocese of Jakarta, Father Thomas Bullock Ismoyo. Good morning, Father.
Good morning.
So, everybody is asking. They always compare the previous Pope with this one. Even when he was, quote unquote, inaugurated, he was using the garment. People are judging about it. All detail about the Pope, people are talking about it. And most people are hoping that this new Pope will follow what Francis has done, has made for the whole world. Do you think that the Pope Leo XIV has the obligation to follow up everything that Pope Francis has ever done until today?
Well, in his first speech given in the balcony of St. Peter, as we have heard, Pope Leo XIV quoted and mentioned Pope Francis, his predecessor, about all the good things that he has shared. That is the first thing. So I believe that he will follow as well the footsteps of Pope Francis in terms of leadership, in terms of values regarding humanity, regarding about peace and also social justice. And secondly, he also mentioned about several topics or several works that really Pope Francis' team during his leadership era, which is dialogue, encounter, and solidarity, working together. So, from his first speech, after he was elected as a Pope, I do believe, and many Catholics believe, that Pope Leo XIV will, to some extent, follow the footsteps and the legacy of Pope Francis.
Okay, so basically he will follow that. And for the people who doesn't understand about the difference between, we know that the previous Pope was from Jesuit and this one is from the Order of St. Augustine, is there any kind of significant differences between that?
Well, every in the Catholic Church, there are hundreds of religious orders. Pope Francis is the first Jesuit who became a Pope. And it was very unexpected. And this is also unexpected because he's an Augustinian. First Augustinian became a bishop. And unexpected because less than 2 years he became a cardinal, and then he was elected as a pope. So he's a young cardinal, even though he's 69, he's a young cardinal. So in regards to the family of the spirituality, there's a big difference between the Jesuits and the Augustinians. Augustinians, I can give a long lecture about this, but Augustinian, really, the founder is St. Augustine, followed by his follower, who lives in the 4th century or 5th century. And St. Augustine is a theologian who speaks about Christianity as their main topic, how to become a Christian. St. Augustine, a very well-known and famous saint in North Africa. Whereas St. Ignatius Loyola, the founder of Jesuit, to whom Pope Francis belongs to, was established in the 16th century. So it's a big gap in terms of the year when the order was founded. But regardless of the differences between the lifestyle, Catholic Church, we are all the same priests and obey the same leader. We have the same values, Catholic Church, tradition, magisterium, and also the fact that we are connected into one holy Catholic Church.
Okay, so people, of course, everybody's still talking about the movie Conclave with all this thing, and people are saying that the movie is not really depicting everything that is really happening there. But if people are wondering, do you possess any knowledge on what kind of achievements that the new Pope has made that the other people need to know more about this Pope.
Oh, yeah. The movie comes off.
Hello, Father. It seems we are having some difficulties in connection. We're still trying to reconnect. So, Father Thomas, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It seems to be some instability in the connection. So, to shorten my question, that in Conclave, we can see that in the Conclave movie, the cardinals have different backgrounds. And we would like to know, besides being from the Order of St. Augustine, what kind of achievements that the Pope Leo has made that is known to the Catholic communities?
Well, he served as a missionary in Peru for, years, 20 years later. So, he closed up with the people from slums area in Peru. So, he's, the term that uses achievement, but my term is about involvement. His involvement with the poverty and social justice is really well known among the Peruvians. That is from the local context of the Peruvian Catholic Church. Meanwhile, he is also well known as the supreme leader of the Augustinian Order for about 10 years, less than 10 years. So he worked in Rome as well, so that's why he can speak Italian. Became the leader for the Augustinians all over the world. He even visited Indonesia in 2003, visited Papua, where Augustinians also work in Sorong, Papua. So he's well known as a missionary, and we believe that through his missionary work, there were a lot of encounters with people from different backgrounds and people from different cultures. And I do believe that kind of encounter enriched him and equipped him to become a good leader in terms of his understanding about people from different cultures and different people from different backgrounds.
And this is also revealed in his first speech about church being open to everyone, to be a bridge and to have a dialogue, and also open their hands and doors for everyone. And let's go to how the Catholic Church in Indonesia is. Will there be any kind of differences from the previous pope to the next? And how will the Indonesian Catholic community, especially the Jakarta Archdiocese, will implement these changes or everything that is stated by Pope Leo? Okay, so basically, based on the speech by Pope Leo, how will the Jakarta Archdiocese or even the whole Catholic community in Indonesia will carry out everything that was stated in that?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Sorry. It's not only about the Catholic Church in Jakarta, but beyond the Catholic Church in every part of the world, it should also be the church with its door widely open for everyone to embrace everyone regardless of their background, their political views, their any kind of differences that you mentioned. So this is the legacy that Pope Francis also has addressed and said in many times during his papal visit, in his pontificate speech. So this is how Pope Leo will follow the legacy of Pope Francis about the church with its door widely open. In context of the Catholic Church of Jakarta, because every church in different parts of the world have their own different challenges. For example, in Indonesia, we still struggle with poverty, social injustice, the gap between the rich and the poor, and also one of the main characteristics that the Catholic Church in Indonesia faced, that we live in the Pope Francis mentioned, Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, unity and diversity, to live hand in hand, joined in collaboration with people from different religious backgrounds. And in the Indonesian context, we have a majority of Muslims, around 88%. So I do believe that in the context of the Catholic Church in Indonesia, the speech of Pope Leo XIV is really significant to become a more relevant church. Wherever you are, you spread the good news, you spread the story of God in the way that people will understand, in the way that people will listen. And in Indonesian context, the way that people will understand and listen is to collaborate, to foster a dialogue, foster tolerance with your brothers and sisters.
And this has been realized by the Catholic churches in Indonesia, or is it still a long way around, or is it sure not that far away from that kind of view?
It is a, if I call it, an ongoing
progress.
We do have a very good relationship. For example, in Jakarta itself, we have a very good relationship with our friends from Istiqlal Mosque. In many parts of the world, the collaboration is well established. And if the religious leaders in Indonesia can collaborate better, because the religious leaders in Indonesia, they have a significant impact because they have people of God, they have influence, and when there is a good collaboration, good harmony among the leaders, we do expect that it can spread to many layers of society.
Okay, so collaboration among the religious leaders, and what are the challenges they still face in ensuring that the religious leaders have this collaboration?
Well, the challenges that we face these days that, religious leaders should also foster, encourage their people of God, their congregation, to also collaborate, not only in the higher level, in terms of only leaders, but in our daily, day-to-day activities among neighbors, regardless of their different background, different religious views, and so on and so forth. So hopefully that kind of collaboration, if I can paraphrase what I say, is not only in the top position, but also in the grassroots level of society. The challenges that we have are still the same. It is not only the challenges in regard to the different religious background, but the challenges of poverty, corruption, the challenges of where people only maintain the interests of their group. So hopefully, we can overcome together the kind of challenges, because we are gathered in the same humanity. We are gathered in the same objectives, concern that we are all human, and we also must strive for a better humanity, and to also to foster a better, to promote a good, how do we respect our mother nature.
Okay, not only for the people, but also for our mother nature. So from this, if I may a little bit offer, not simplify, but to sum up everything that we have been talking about, we wish that the new Pope and what he said is not only celebrated as a social media post, but we foster it in our daily lives, especially to our neighbors and also to the nature. Okay, thank you very much, Father Thomas, for joining us in this morning talk at Voice of Indonesia.
Hello.
Listeners, the Deputy Secretary of the Archdiocese of Jakarta, Father Thomas Ulun Ismoyo, and we have known that there may be a little bit difference and also some path that will be followed too by the current Pope, and the important thing that it's not only the Pope that will be doing that, not only the church, not only the people, the higher ups, but also the people, including you and I. Collaboration is the key to create peace for the people and also for the major. And you guys again to the start on our YouTube channel.
Voice of Indonesia.
Do you know there is links in the Japanese song that is believed to summon spirits? However, the lyrics of Lindsay Wonnie apparently aims to do oppositely. The song, which is also called Kidung Remexo in Wonnie, was created by Sunan Kalijaga and sung after evening prayer to prevent any spirit or demon from coming. The lyric can also mean as a prayer to the god. Thank you for listening to Voice of Indonesia through RRI Digital. You can play directly the programs of all RRI stations, including Indonesia from Indonesia, your favorite playlist, inspiration podcast, and the latest video news. You can immediately by using like, comment, share, and live chat. RRI Digital, a solution for entertainment and information in your hands. Download now on Google Play and App Store. Do you know there is Lindsay Wonnie, a Japanese song that is believed to summon spirits? However, the lyrics of Lindsay Wonnie apparently aims to do oppositely. The song, which is also called Kidung Remexo in Wonnie, was created by Sunan Kalijaga and sung after evening prayer to prevent any spirit or demon from coming. The lyric can also mean as a prayer to the god.
Okay. Bye.
Indonesia.